Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Man, oh man. What a blessing. Amen. How many of you ready to jump into the word of the Lord this morning? Amen. Now remember, I've warned you that I'm not stopping and giving you every single verse. Just trust me, I'm going to give them to you all at the end. Take a picture, do whatever you want to with it. Don't be mad at me. I know when it's different, sometimes we sit down and we're like, oh, here we go. Who does God think he is? You know, it ain't one of those things. We just going to keep going. I got one of those Pastor Martina messages I need to condense down this morning, so I got to keep moving. You know how she get? We stop. I mean, we cover 30, 40 verses with her. So I'm trying to mask it a little bit so you don't recognize that I'm doing the same thing I tease everybody all the time. Amen? Amen. Work with me. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the word of the Lord this morning. So we started Genesis 21:1, and that'll probably be your last warning. All right. So many times, how we view our lives is a result of our expectations of how things should be and the images we see around us and how we process them. Yeah. If you ever found yourself saying life is unfair, that's the result of two things. Is what your expectation of what fair is and how the world around you seems to be going. Amen?
Amen.
Well, last week, the message was really about expectations, though it wasn't presented like that. But if you strip it down to its core, last week, it was about expecting great things to happen for you. Amen?
Amen.
This week, we'll be looking at the other side of that, which is the images around us that we see. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to go through three images that leave us feeling a certain type of way. My prayer is at least one of them resonate with you. But my belief is that all three will at least be relatable in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's start with relationships. We're going to start with relationships this morning. They did not have social media back in biblical times. But we will go back and bring forth some of these stories. Here is the Facebook post of the first power couple presented in the Bible right here. Abraham and Sarah. So imagine this post on Facebook. This makes us feel a certain kind of way when we see people posting pictures of their families together on Facebook. And so Genesis 21:1, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him." What doesn't make this post that we see when we see somebody posting their family in their old age and all this kind of stuff, what didn't make the post was that God made a promise to them a long time ago about this baby. Sarah decided that because it wasn't happening, that her handmaid sleep with her husband so they could have a baby. After she did this, she became angry and bitter and chased the handmaid out. She chased her out where she fled. This lady had been her handmaid 10 years. And it was her idea for her to sleep with her husband, yet she chased her out anyway. An act of God made it so the handmaid came back. But see, Sarah lost her way, and we're seeing how a post that somebody posts today isn't where they've always been. Amen?
Come on.
The relationship you're seeing has an untold story. Because you're seeing them happy and smiling with their new baby, you don't know what it took to get there.
Amen.
And a lot of times, we internalize these images that we see, and we make them about us. And we say, man, I'm not smiling next to nobody, or I don't have a baby. Why didn't God bless me? But let me show you how it kind of works before this. See, God told Sarah he was going to bless her, and In Genesis 18 and 12, it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have the pleasure of my Lord being old also? Basically, she's saying, I don't understand. After I get old, now I'm going to have a baby. See, she posted on Facebook with her new family and how happy she was. But when she got the promise, when it came to her, she wasn't happy.
Come on.
She was saying, man, I'm going to get this baby when I'm old and washed up and can't do nothing and can't enjoy it. But yet, you looking at Sarah and Abraham and Isaac, and you internalizing, you saying, man, I wish that was me.
Come on.
You might be single when you don't understand why. You might be married and you don't understand why. You look at these happy couples, they go on trips, they eat dinner together. They just look so in love. We say that picture is worth 1,000 words. Guess what? It takes 100,000 words to tell the whole story.
Come on.
See, you looking at that picture and you internalizing what it means and you putting your view of the world on it, but that picture don't capture everything that happened to be able to get to that point, amen?
Amen.
It doesn't describe everything that's going on. We need to change our point of view, and instead of making this a point of self-reflection when we see somebody post something, we need to make it a point of congratulations.
Amen.
So we don't know what it took to get to that point, because anyone who has gotten anything that's picture-worthy, they've been through moments that maybe we don't want to go through or we don't understand.
Amen.
They've been through something whether we believe it or not. And so when we look at these things and we look at these posts and they make us feel a certain kind of way, it needs to stop being a point of self-reflection, because that does not have anything to do with your life. That's what God has done in somebody else. But we can't allow these pictures to change our behavior. See, we start searching for what we think the picture means, and it takes us down a road that it shouldn't take us down. It's the road of infidelity sometimes when it comes to relationships. We look and say, well, God, why can't I have somebody to make me smile like that? And so we go searching for it. And boy, do we find it. And boy, hey, we think it's all it's cracked up to be, but we end up doing things that's out of character for us. And you're like, no, that's in character for me. Well, maybe it is in character, but it don't have to be. Amen? It makes us start chasing things and doing things just like it did Sarah. Guess what Sarah did? She said, you know what? We're supposed to have a baby. That's God's word. But I'm going to make this thing happen. So she chased something, and it ended up making her do something out of character to the point where she ruined somebody else's life.
Uh-huh.
You call me in to do you a favor, and all of a sudden, now I'm on the run.
Come on.
But you do it in your life all because somebody posted something that you think you want.
Mm.
You might say, well, I don't want a baby in my old age. But maybe you want the happiness you think this picture represents. Maybe you want the companionship that you think this picture represents. And so your behavior is different as a result. But what God has for you is for you. And what God has for the picture that you see is for them. And that needs to be a point of congratulations. There's nothing makes us reflect like social media. Something that ain't got nothing to do with us. We all of a sudden can make about us in a heartbeat. It ain't got nothing to do with us. They posted a picture of them with a new car. We're like, come on, I ain't got. Can't we just be happy for somebody?
Amen.
Can't we just celebrate somebody
Amen.
Else?
Yeah.
Can't we just understand what God has for us is for us?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Contrary to popular belief, everything's not about you. You know, so I should have had you sing, you're so vain, you probably think this song was about you. That's why I should have had you sing, because that's how we get to the point in our lives when we start seeing this stuff, and that's what happens. Everything becomes about us. Everything. Because, you know what? I don't know. I got people in my family, and I've talked about this before. I got some serious lottery players in my family. Some of them real serious. It don't matter what number come up, they can make a story about why they should have hit it. It don't matter what, every number that come up, ain't a number that can come out, I don't care what it is, that they don't have a reason why. Like, man, I would, the number could be, see, whatever number I say, somebody gonna play, so I better be careful. You know, the number could be 0237. And you like, I was following behind somebody with 02 that cut me off. And 37 was how old my son was when he married his wife. I mean, they put together numbers. Like you wouldn't, I mean, stuff that you ain't got, you like, how in the world did you get that from that? It don't matter what, and here's the kicker. The lottery come on at 7:30. By 7:31, they on the phone with each other. Can you believe that number? Can you believe that? That's your grandma's death number on her cemetery thing, plus the last number in my badge when I work.
Okay.
That ain't made up. That's the truth. And as far-fetched as that sounds, that's how we get when we looking at social media about pictures. Right. And people, we found a way to make this whole thing about us. You ain't supposed to hit that number. Why don't you save it for when you really should have called? That picture's not your story. Uh-huh. It's not your story, so stop making it about you.
Come on now.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
It's not about you, but that's how we do with relationships. We always want what we don't have. It's always something. Person you with ain't tall enough. They don't listen enough. They don't do this. They don't do that. You got them, you want to be single. Single is want somebody. It's always something. Man, Lord, you know if I just had somebody, then you get somebody, and you're like, oh, man, Lord, if you just take them back, you know I was good before. You know I don't know what I be talking about, God. I don't know why you decided to listen to me. I've been praying for a new car. You ain't answered that. But yet you going to give me somebody. You know I don't know what I want.
Have mercy.
We got to understand that somebody else's blessing is not a reflection of what you should or shouldn't have. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's talk about gifts or talents. Because we do this in relationships. We do this with somebody else's gifts and talents as well. Amen? I want you to imagine Elijah posting this on Instagram. So Instagram post, we see this picture. And then the caption, we'll read it from 1 Kings. I'm not going to tell you where. Don't even look. It's going to be up here. 1 Kings says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may not know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." He can't help himself. He up here. He know where it is. He in 1 Kings 18, 30, because he already knew where it was. The encyclopedia over here. I just see them pages turning. See, now, let me give you some context about this story. Elijah was just mocking about 450 false prophets whose God didn't answer them. They basically took a bull, and he took a bull, and he said, whoever God's answer with fire is the real God, right? And so that's what we see on social media. We see this post, and like, man, look at how God loved Elijah, right? So the false prophets were up there, and they were praying to their God, and they cut themselves and all kind of stuff. And Elijah like, well, maybe your God's sleeping. Wake him up, scream louder. Or maybe he's just busy. Why don't you just do more to be able to get his attention, and maybe he'll hear you. He was giving them a time. He says, no, just keep on going. Just keep on. He revving them up. Just keep on going. Yeah, he'll hear you. He'll hear this. He will certainly consume your wood. I know he'll understand. See, we look at the gift that God had Elijah, and we're like, man, I wish I could do that.
Yes.
We're like, man. God, he called on God. God, you know, 450 people, their God didn't move. But his God moved just like that. Mm-hmm. And we look at this, and we see this in other people, like, man, I wish I could sing like that. Man, I wish I could speak like that. Man, I wish I could play an instrument like that. We look at other people's talents, whatever it is, and we see them, and when they post something like this on Instagram, we immediately make it about us. We got to learn to appreciate other people's talents without downplaying our own. God has made you talented.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
He has made you so talented.
Yeah.
And you see a picture like this of somebody else's talent with the caption that God did something for him, and you like, man, why can't I do this? Why am I not good enough for this? Why can't I do this? God gave you talent. He gave you a gift.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to appreciate your gift. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to use your gift for God.
Amen.
We want to walk from God, but what he gave us, we ain't using.
Mm-hmm.
We're so busy swiping and looking at other people's gifts and talking about how wonderful they are and how good they are and how talented they are. God, why couldn't you make me more like that? We need to learn to put the talent that God gave us on display
and
use for his edification and glory. Even though you can't see it in the natural, God will use your talent for his edification.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might not know how. You might say, well, I ain't really good at nothing but knitting. Well, God can use that talent for his edification. But it's easy for us to look at other people and think like, man, they just got it. They just got it, right? Mm. But let me show you something about when you post it and you see somebody else's talent. We're going to this 1 Kings 19 and 1, since you go there anyway. It says, and Ahab, this is after everything happened. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time.
Yeah.
And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. In verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Soon after this miracle, and God using him, he was wishing death upon himself. You don't want what you see.
Come on.
This was right after a miracle of one against 450, and God displaying his power. And he was wishing death upon himself. We don't know what's happening with other people's lives. We don't know what kind of mental baggage they are carrying around. This is exactly why we need to lift one another up in prayer instead of taking tweets and things like this and personalize them by our own shortcomings.
Amen.
God showed his power. He did. It was miraculous. And you got to go down about 4 or 5 verses and the man want to kill himself. in an instant. That's how he saw the situation. Yet we think because somebody posted it's for us. That is not your walk. You don't want it because you don't know what it took to get there.
That's right. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
We think because of what we see on the surface, our lives are behind someone else's. When the truth of the matter is, if we take the focus off them, we will realize that if we aren't where we're supposed to be, it has nothing to do with the lack of talent in our lives. It has nothing to do with the lack of relationships in our lives. It has everything to do with us trying to control things that we can't control instead of controlling the things that you do.
Come on.
There's nothing to stop you from getting up in the morning, looking in the mirror, smile, and say, "You are awesome today."
Hello.
That's something you can control.
Come on now. Amen.
But yet, we don't do that. You know what we do? We grab the phone by our bedside, go to social media, start flipping before we can get out of bed and say, "Man, that couple look good together." You look over next to you like, "Oh, good. 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 God, you did it for them. Why didn't you do it for me?" Listen, he behind me talking about I'm horrible. Guess what? That is the truth. That's what happened. And I ain't preaching about nothing I don't know nothing about. Been there, done that for sure. Listen. Look, I told on myself last week. I ain't gonna be telling on myself every week now. I told on myself last week. Listen, all right. Listen. Oh, that's enough. I gave y'all too much information last week. Look, sometimes we think because our talents don't please other people that it must not be good enough.
Come on.
I'm going to tell on myself again, and this was planned even though last week wasn't. So, at New Year's Eve, I'm at home, sitting on my couch, I'm watching football, right? College football, I'm watching football. And you know what? I said, you know what? I'm gonna go to church, right? So it's a church nearby my house, and I looked up to see what time they had service, and I go to church. And I said, you know, it started at 8:30, Michigan game started. I said, you know, that's all right, I'll go to church. So I went, and I walk in. They had a really popular gospel singer there. Really popular, you know, stuff on the radio. I don't listen to the radio, but you know what I mean. Like, it was popular. Mm-hmm. And so I come in there, and, you know, I get there on time, and then this person comes out, and they sing it. And, you know, they're obviously talented. But like I said, your talent's not going to please everybody.
Right.
Because guess what? I was sitting there, and I was clapping along. But see, something in my brain, see, when I go see something, I got an issue. The issue I have is if you try to involve me too much and make me, like, everybody clap your hands, I'm checked out, man. You know, my brain got a limit on how many times you can ask me to clap or how many times you can tell me to look at my neighbor and tell him something. See, if you keep telling me to look at my neighbor and tell me something, I'm like, man, who is doing the entertaining here? Now, this singer was having you stand up and clap. And the first couple times, it was cool. I'm like, God, now see, I went to church on my own. Ain't nobody asking me to go to church. I said, God, you know what? I'm going to go celebrate you. And I always use the word celebrate. I said, God, I'm going to go celebrate you.
Yeah.
And I get in there, and somebody who's obviously talented, your talent ain't going to please everybody. Because I was sitting there, man, and I'm like, okay, so you want me to stand up and you want me to clap. Okay, cool. I stood up. I clapped. Cool. You know, you kind of wear off a little bit. You're like, okay, cool. You know, like, all right, that's cool. And then he's saying, do what I do. He bent down. He went up. Come on. We at the gym. Like,
Lord.
Tell me to do what? And he crouched out. I mean, he go down, he clap, and he do some weird clap, and I'm sitting there like, why am I doing the work? Like, God, I could have went to the gym if I wanted to keep jumping up and jumping down and doing what this guy say do, and then he don't feel enough energy, so he sit down like, oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Ramming up like Hulkamania. Come on, I'm like, oh. Your talent is not going to please everybody. So you might as well not even worry, because his talent had nothing to do with how I was feeling. They're my own problems, that because I got a limit on you. Because if you keep saying, look at your neighbor, I don't say that, because I'm like, when I'm sitting there, I get tired of looking at my neighbor. And then I got to turn to the other neighbor, and then you got to turn to somebody, you're like, you across the room? Oh, yeah, you heard what you said. And so my brain starts to check out in those situations. But that ain't got nothing to do with the talent that God gave you. That's a flaw in me.
Yes, yes. Yes.
That's why I can't have how good or not good this message is be dependent on whether you clap or not. Because you dealing with stuff and you got your own thing that you got going on that you filtering this thing with, and you decide whether or not you gonna like it or not and all that kind of good stuff. But I come to tell you that you're not gonna be able to please everybody, but it don't mean you are not talented.
Amen. Amen.
It don't mean that.
Encourage us. Encourage us.
Amen. Sometimes our feelings just get the best of us. Amen. Sometimes they just do. You don't even intend it to. I went to church with good things on my heart, and I went in happy, and I, after praise and worship, I'm like, thank God this got done. Man. Now that's crazy that that happened to me, and that's true that it happened, and now we're going to pass the mic, and now you're going to tell on yourself. <It's teasing. laughs> You're like, oh, I saw you shaking. Oh, knees, oh, we need to get the baptismal tank out. Uh-oh. I saw them knees shaking. He's like, oh, me? We talked about relationships. We talked about talent, gifts, right? Let's talk about job and authority. Because a lot of times we look at our feelings, like especially sometimes our bosses or whatever. People, we think they got something or some power that they don't deserve. You know, we go to work and look at our boss and like, man, I can do better than this person. Not at church though, Pastor. Not at church. At church. We don't think that at church. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to go to the Bible, and this is, I think, Numbers 12 and 1. Okay? You would have found it, I know. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they had said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye there unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they there came out. In verse 5 it says, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. This happens in a workplace all the time. We start to say things or believe that we are better suited to do a role than the person is actually doing it.
Come on.
Instead of supporting them the best we can, we start to talk about their inadequacies or shortcomings and not give our best effort to support them. Oh, ain't nobody going to say amen because ain't nobody ever did that, right? The reality is, you might be better suited to be the boss than your boss. But instead of aiming for their role, maybe God has something even better. The reality of the situation is that we need to be the best. We need to do the best we can in whatever situation we are in. True opportunity opens up by showing God you are grateful for what you have and what he has given to you. And once you take care of that, watch God expand the things around you. Amen.
Yes, he will.
So God showed them, and if you keep reading, you know, you see leper, one of them, God turned into a leper, and Moses had to beg God, like, please, don't do it. And God said, yeah, 7 days she could do it. So, but I share that with you to say this, is that Moses, on the outward appearance of this, should have been flying high. He could have been like, God, you see, I'm different than y'all. You see what God showed up for me? I'm mouth to mouth with him. He's speaking to you in riddles. He ain't speaking to me in riddles. He speaks to me plain. So we see that and we like, man, God, I wish I had that job. I wish I had that kind of authority. But see, Moses didn't start there. Let me show you where Moses started from. It says in Exodus 3:11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh that I bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He's saying, God, I'm not good enough, right? And in verse 13, he says, and Moses said, God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of thy fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? He's saying, God, I don't have all the answers. Right? Exodus 4:1 says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared to me. Moses said, people won't believe me, God. And for servant, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God, I am not a good public speaker. Why are you having me say stuff? Verse 13, it says, and he said, O my Lord, I pray thee by the hand of him thou would send. Moses saying, God, I am not qualified. So this is the same person God speaking mouth to mouth with. This is the feeling of inadequacy he has. The person that you want their place, they have inadequacies. You might not even think they do. You might be like, man, they think they this and they think they that. You don't know how they got there.
Come on now.
Stop aiming for their job. Stop aiming for their authority and aim what God has for you.
Amen.
See, this person that you think you're more qualified than, you just don't know how they really feel. You don't know how they really, you don't know the fact that you're sitting there chirping with the other people talking about how bad of a job they're doing. You don't know how that makes them feel and how they go home at night feeling that they are not good enough or not qualified enough to do the role that God has for them. But you're causing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know ain't nobody say amen because ain't nobody. You don't need to do something new. You don't. You need to see what God has given you differently. You don't need a new talent. You don't need a fresh anointing. You don't need all this stuff. You need to see what God has already given you differently. You need to see your partner differently. You need to see your job differently. You need to see your talent differently. You might say, well, I don't have a partner. I'm lonely. I need something new, don't I? The answer is no. Because a person cannot be the key to you no longer being lonely.
Amen.
Because then you're beholden to them. God is not going to say, I'm going to cure your loneliness by sending you somebody. God don't work like that. That you got to improve your relationship with God. The loneliness will be prepared. And then God will usher you in to what you need to be in.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Amen.
Because if we don't appreciate the things that God has done for us, it's gonna make us start to act out of character. And when we start to act out of character, we start to do things like Sarah did by having her handmaid sleep with her husband and then chasing her away.
Come on.
We start to do things like maybe you've done at work by talking bad about your boss up and down to anybody who would listen, even though you know you had no business doing it.
Come on now. Come on now.
We got to stop acting out of character.
Yes.
And we got to do the things that God wants us to do. Amen. Like it says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, cast all your cares upon him.
Yes.
For he careth for you.
Yes.
Man.
Amen.
Your life has ingredients for everything that you need to do what God has. Amen. It just requires you to think differently. It requires a gratitude for what you currently have. And it requires a relationship with God that is one, instead of begging,
is one
of gratefulness.
Yeah.
I got one last scripture that I'll leave you with, and then we're done. It's in 1 Thessalonians. It's 5 and 18. It says, in everything, give thanks.
Yes.
For this is the will of God
in
Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything.
Come on.
Not just some things.
Come on.
In everything. I don't care what you're going through this morning. I don't care what problems that you have. I don't care if your life is not on the path that you think it should be. It says in everything. Give thanks.
Yes.
I want you to slide your hands up this morning and just give God some thanks this morning for everything that he's done for you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, we exalt you, Lord. I know all those things that I think that are working against me, they are for my good, Lord. You've established your kingdom on this heart, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise and magnify you and exalt you in Jesus' name. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know some of y'all count like, how many times you gonna ask me to clap? I ain't about to keep clapping. I know y'all got a limit too. I got a limit to how many times I'm gonna ask. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand up this morning. I'm gonna ask Pastor Keys to pray this morning.
First of all, Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you because of who you are. You are all sufficient one, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to lift up your mighty name one more time. Lord God, we do think negatively about ourselves. We do think we're inadequate. But Lord, let us thank you, Lord God, in advance because you've already placed that reminder in us, Lord God, that we are somebody.
Yes, Lord.
And we're somebody in you, Lord God. Lord God, remind us, Lord God, that you faced all of these things in your 3.5 years when you walked the earth, Lord God, in your ministry. Lord God, in the 30 years before that, Lord God, you experienced all of life, Lord God. Lord God, let us look unto you, Lord God, as the example, Lord God. Yeah. Ah, Father, that we might walk right, that we might think right, that we might act right, Lord God. Lord. And also that we might treat others, Lord God, in the way that you would have us treat them. Lord God, you didn't talk anybody down. You didn't destroy anyone. You didn't condemn anybody. Yes. Lord God, you came that we all might have life and life more abundantly, Lord God. Yes, let that abundant life spread out from us, Lord God, to touch others, Lord God. Ah, those that are lost, Lord God. Those that are down and discouraged, Lord God. Yes. So that they might be lifted up, Lord God. Ah, even as you lift us up, Lord God. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We have one more piece of God's business.